much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Can you tell me your name?
Nicholas Eastman.
Are you from Earth?
Yes, I'm from Earth.
What I'm about to tell you, Nick, you may find a bit disturbing.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Make me 8 waffles, cottage cheese and cream cheese, bacon, chocolate milk, syrup, maybe some donuts, a cookie, a chocolate bar. Yeah, that should be good.
I thrive to be you every day.
And now.
'Cause it's a sausage party, sausage party. We're having a sausage party.
Our feature presentation.
It is indeed a sausage party. Welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Wednesday morning. Hey, Lisa May?
Yes.
What if we're wrong and Kevin doesn't die in Brazil because he dies before he gets to Brazil?
That is an excellent question, which of course just crossed my mind because if someone isn't here, the first thing we think is they dead.
Well, they're usually dead. Usually that's what happens if somebody isn't there precisely at the right moment.
I didn't hear about one, but it could have happened, not reported yet.
Muggs, you know anything? Is the monkey dead?
No, I'm happy to say that he's not dead. The 405, I guess, is closed.
No, that's in Seal Beach.
Well, oh, interesting.
Well, he called Dave, and Dave let me know that he was going to be 5 to 6 minutes late because the 405 was closed.
Oh, well, maybe there's something else.
Just because he wasn't dead when he called Dave doesn't mean he's not dead now, though. You guys don't know what could have happened between now and then.
That's a really good point. Yes.
It's a jungle out there, you guys.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing any of us get here.
It absolutely is. You know, I was thinking, I try to bring you an interesting story to get the show started every day. And sometimes there are tough things to talk about and tough things to hear about at 5:30 in the morning. But it's got to be done. I can't resist. Here's a man in Canada who in 2011 was having sex with his wife, like you do, I've been told.
Yeah.
And sustained some sort of injury to his penis. And it hurt, and it hurt a lot.
Well, so sometimes you just bend them.
Right.
Accidentally.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. It was not diagnosed when he went into the hospital, though. He arrived at the hospital. Emergency room. A nurse assessed the injury without performing a physical examination, just looked at it. And then according to the lawsuit that has now been filed, an off-site urologist, not somebody even in the hospital, diagnosed him with mild trauma to the area and he was sent home. So he goes home.
Oh, boy.
And it doesn't get any better.
Yeah.
And a month goes by and 2 months goes by and 3 months goes by. And all this time, by the way, it still hurts and he is unable to have sex during this entire 3 month period. So he goes back to the hospital and they say, whoa, it looks to me like you got a fractured penis. That's bad, son. Now, a fractured penis is the thing that you're talking about where it gets bent, Lisa.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Here's my favorite part of the whole article. And I think this is the image that's going to be sticking with many of our listeners today, if they're listening now or later on the podcast. The injury is often accompanied by an audible cracking sound,
oh, God.
Then dark bruising as blood escapes from the cylinder.
Oh.
So he had a fractured penis, and they said, you're in bad shape here, and you need surgery. So they scheduled him for and performed surgery on him, which then, according to the lawsuit, left his penis smaller by an inch.
Really?
Like, this guy wasn't having enough trouble with his penis. Now he hasn't used it for 3 months. He goes in, turns out it's fractured, has surgery. Now it's an inch shorter than when he started out.
And his wife leaves him.
And his wife leaves him. Yes, that is true. And now he is suing the hospital. And you can tell this is in Canada and not in the United States because if this were in America, he would be suing for how much? $10 million?
Yes, $10 million. Absolutely.
He's suing for $142,680 is all he's suing for. Damages for negligence and indescribable anguish, according to the lawsuit. By the way, as if this guy's not having a rough enough time, he's also a paraplegic.
Oh, man. And that was all he had going for him.
Yes, he couldn't move his legs, but
at least
he could have sex. Now he can't even do that. Well, it doesn't say. Now, this article doesn't say if he can now have sex as a result of the surgery. But even if he could, his wife is gone. And it may be tough for him to get another lady. Because he's a paraplegic with a tiny penis. So, whatever's going on in anybody's life that may be listening today, I feel like you're in better shape than that guy is.
I'm pretty sure.
That is not a great start.
So a cracking sound.
Can you get divorced just on the basis of
penis?
Is that an actual
Kevin.
Thing?
Hey, what's going on?
Well, you know, checking out.
So that's $142,000, by the way. Seems very low to me.
She didn't just leave him because of the inch less, but he was probably a very, very depressed man.
Yeah, probably
so. And horrible to be around and, you know.
Yeah. So good times, right?
Yeah. All right.
Not if you're talking broken penis. It's not good times, no.
God.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Hey, what's the current high bid to kill you?
I don't know. I didn't know there was a high bid. On the program today, Los Angeles Kings captain Dustin Brown.
Yay!
Talking about winning the Stanley Cup, et cetera.
Has he slept since Friday, by the way? Because they sure seem to be on a tour with that Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I don't think they have. I think they
saw him at the Dodgers game last night. Yep. And I was thinking the party is still going on.
And will probably for a month.
Yeah.
Rob Ford, the musical.
Can't wait.
It's going to happen today.
Amazing.
Rob Ford is he's mayor, right? In Canada. Who is basically
Toronto
and just basically a crack whore. I mean, he just is a drug addict and a drinker, and he gets caught on camera all the time saying ridiculous stuff. He's my hero.
He's in rehab now, and he filed his paperwork yesterday to go back to work on June 30th. So next week he'll be back on the job so he can start running for re-election.
We also have Ray Romano on the program today.
Love Ray.
Mm-hmm. A brand new internet roundup. We have you lied to get a job?
Who hasn't?
We're going to talk to Seth Green, who's one of our favorites of all time. He's doing something called the 24-Hour Play.
Sounds great.
It does. Comedian Brad Williams will be here. He's the guy that's going to die with me soon. So very excited
now,
about that.
Now, is he getting his own seat, or are you just checking him as luggage, or what's he going to do? What's the plan there?
Do believe he takes his own seat, but
okay.
It's so funny to hear him talk about the dirty looks he gets when he's sitting in first class. Everybody upgraded with miles so that they can at least get in first class. And so people that are Bean's height, 6'6",
need it.
Yeah, and there's no more first class available. So they walk past Brad and they give him the stink eye. Like, what do you need it for?
That's a really good point.
Yeah. So he loves that.
A regular seat on a plane is first class for Brad, though,
right? Right, exactly.
I mean, his feet would never touch the ground.
So anyway, that's all coming up. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for our very first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning. What's going on, Argar?
Well, love is in the air for Clint Eastwood.
Oh, dear God.
Really? Yeah. Clint's back in action. You know, he famously split up with his loony wife a while ago, and now he's got a new girlfriend. According to sources, the 83-year-old actor-director is cohabitating with a much younger gal named Christina Sandera. No official word on her age, but from the photo, she looks to be in her 40s, early 40s.
All right.
How did they meet, you may wonder?
How did they meet, Ruff?
I'm glad you're wondering that. She's a hostess at a restaurant he owns in Carmel, California.
Ah. They're already living together?
Yeah, Clint.
I'd like a table for you. I got a seat for you, hostess, on my face.
I'm not disputing his loony wife at all, but she had a loony husband also.
What the what?
Come on. Clint is checked out.
He's Clint mother effing Eastwood.
I trust him to make movies, nothing else at this point. He's got off the reservation. He really has.
You got to ask yourself a question.
Yeah.
That would help. Lucky. Do you punk? His wife, though, wanted that reality series. Remember, she was trying to manage that boy band and everything.
She's a nightmare.
She's absolutely up to the press at every possible promotional opportunity. She seemed like just a massive pain in the ass.
Yeah. Agreed.
Clint, well, what does Clint do? He goes off, he makes movies, and then he just lives by himself. No one, he doesn't bother anybody.
The chair?
Yeah. All right. One There's thing, something. The chair. One thing with the chair. He was trying to be clever and it fell flat. How many of us can say we've experienced the same?
Well, all of us.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Definitely all of us, yeah.
We embarrass ourselves on a much more regular basis than Clint Eastwood does.
I don't know. I just felt like that was like his Tom Cruise chair moment, that you realize there's something else going on with him, you know, beyond what we think.
I don't think he'd be easy to live with.
Like he's been talking to chairs for years?
Yeah, exactly.
What are you basing that on, Lisa, that he wouldn't be easy to live with?
He seems like a cranky pants.
Oh, I saw him take a shotgun out to some kids in his car. Yeah, exactly.
No, it was a movie.
Just a movie.
He seems like just a hail fellow well met.
Well, then you marry him when he breaks up with the hostess.
I'd be happy to. I would make Clint the happiest man on the planet.
He seems like a what?
Hail fellow well met.
I don't know what that means. Good guy?
Good
nice
guy.
Man?
Jolly guy. Yeah, pleasure to be around. It's a saying that's been around for, I don't know, 100 years.
200 years.
Yeah. Speaking of Mr. Eastwood, his new movie, Jersey Boys, opens on Friday. I can't wait for this film. I've seen the musical twice live, and I'm very much looking forward to the film version.
Oh, Kevin's all about this, too,
oh,
by the way.
God. Directed.
Can't get enough of the Four Seasons.
It's a great story, Kevin. Aside from the music, which you automatically hate because it came from the 60s.
Why do you do this?
Because I'm fascinated by the fact that a good story is a good story. You know, Romeo and Juliet is still a good story regardless of when it was written. The story of these four street kids out of Jersey coming up and making it good against impossible odds in the music industry, plus the involvement of the mob, which is another interesting aspect of their story. It's just interesting. It's just a good story.
Why does Kevin hate
good things? I mean, why do you have to dismiss it out of hand simply because it took place 40 years ago? Because
I'm me.
It's also not loud.
But why does it still drive you crazy?
Because it's inexplicable. Because I know you to be a person who will go see a film with great protest, either at the behest of your wife or someone else, and then come out on the other side and go, damn, that was really good. I'm glad I was exposed to that. And experience after experience happens like that, time after time. You think at some point it would change your perspective just a little bit.
No, I don't think so. Not interested. What else you got?
Anyway, the story of Frankie Valli and his three friends who became the Four Seasons. Because of all the publicity around the band with the new movie coming out, a lot of people coming out of the woodwork to talk about these guys who knew him back in the day, including April Kirkwood, who this is unnecessary. She went to the New York Daily News claiming that Frankie deflowered her when she was 16 years old in a seedy hotel in Belmont, Ohio.
How is that a story? That's the story of a lot of people.
Well, she says Frankie was 39 at the time.
Oh, well, there's that.
She was 16.
Is this the first time she's come forward?
Yes, it is. Yeah. But, of course, she does have a book coming out in August called Big Girls Do Cry.
Oh, no, she didn't.
a play on, of course, the title of a popular song from the band. She claims that the affair continued on and off for the next 20 years.
Oh, now we're talking. Okay. I thought she was writing a book just on losing her virginity that one day,
no,
but
apparently,
there's more to it than
this
that.
This is an illicit affair that happened on and off for 20 years. She also, this gets really disturbing, she says they allegedly met when April was just 9 years old and her mother took her to a Four Seasons concert. So he was a longtime friend of the family, and then when she was 16, things became romantic.
You think she's been sitting on this book all this time, waiting for the moment where the Four Seasons were hot again?
I guess, but still.
But don't you give up on that along the way if it's been 20 years or whatever?
Yeah, I understand bad things happen, and I'm not against people getting their just desserts, whether it's in a court of law or whatever, but I don't know. It's just something unseemly about writing a book. Tell all about someone. You can't help but appear that you're trying to cash in on someone else's fame using your own personal.
That's true.
Problems as fodder for that stuff, but who knows? All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Willa Holland is 23 years old today. Richard Madden, he was Robb Stark in Game of Thrones. Spoiler alert: he was Robb Stark. I don't know how far along you are. 28 years old. David Giuntoli.
That's it, right there.
Giuntoli. Joan Torley.
Who's this
He's Grimm. He's Grimm from Grimm. He's the Grimm. Okay. Oh. He's the Grimmer.
All right.
He is 34 years old. Country singer Blake Shelton is 38. And legend, icon, music maker extraordinaire, singer, songwriter, producer, Paul McCartney. Beatle, yay! Wing. Paul McCartney is 72 years old today. And how do you treat a man who has accomplished as much as Paul McCartney? What would you do, given the opportunity to talk to him on the phone? How would you treat him? I wonder how some people treat him.
I don't know if we'll ever have a chance to do this again, Sir Paul, but thank you so much for the time. It's a real honor to have you on the program today.
Listen, that's a really nice interview. So, I hope to see you at the gig.
Absolutely, sir. Thanks for the call.
Let's make it a date.
Thank you. Bye bye.
See you guys. Bye.
Oops. You hung up on Paul McCartney.
Well, he was saying goodbye.
He was.
You hung up on Paul McCartney.
And by the way, he's never been the same since. Guys had nothing but health problems.
Been
since
the
minute you hung up on him.
Had to cancel concerts.
Tours.
Yeah.
I'm sure there were no other factors in that.
He's never missed a show before you hung up on him. Now look what you've done.
The spiral.
Who cares? It's old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Got a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup for you coming up next. And then Ray Romano joins us. Been a long time since we talked to Ray. He's such a good actor, by the way. I don't know why more people don't talk about what a great actor that guy is.
He's awesome.
Yeah, he's great in everything. Yeah. Anyway, Ray's got some charity stuff he's doing this weekend we'll tell you about. Kevin, I know you were with me watching the Brazil-Mexico game yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And for folks who say, whose complaint about soccer is low score, suck it. Yesterday was about as exciting a game as I've seen all year. And it was a 0-0 game. And it couldn't have been more tense.
There are some games that are 0-0 that are boring as hell.
Absolutely. But yes, that can happen. This was not one of them.
The whole thing is, it comes down to, do you have scoring opportunities? How off are you off by one inch?
Right.
That can
and
be
how
exciting.
Great is your goalie?
Yeah, exactly.
So, an unbelievable game yesterday. A lot of people, by the way, the World Cup ratings are through the roof. ESPN had 16 million people watching the USA game the other day.
No kidding.
So, I mean, it's big business right now. And a lot of people who haven't seen soccer before are very confused by the flopping that goes on. Now, Kevin, or diving, as it's known in the sport, why don't you talk a little bit about that as the soccer aficionado that you are?
Here's the thing. They have one referee on the field. That's it. One for that huge field. How many does football have? Like eight?
Yeah, they pretty much have it covered.
One huge field, they just have a referee on the side, and then in the middle, and then two on the sides to call offsides, and they'll help the main ref if he didn't get a good view of it or something. But what are the chances he's going to be around
to see everything, every action on the field? Right. Exactly.
So what they've done is, and there's actually a penalty now called embellishment, where you are clearly barely touched. And you just dive and roll and put the pain on your face and you're holding your ankle like it just got cut off at the knee and you're just miserable. And the problem with diving is it works. There's
sometimes
so many calls from refs that shouldn't be calls because somebody dove.
Well, you explained to me yesterday it's because there's like one dude.
Yeah, that's
it. Trying to see everything.
And he can't be everywhere.
Yeah.
So since he's not near you, you need to convince him that you were fouled.
Sometimes, right. So you act like you just took a bullet to the head when you fall down. When those of us watching at home on TV see that the guy barely scraped your jersey.
Sometimes there is a foul, like somebody does bump into you, and then that's where embellishment comes in. You make it much worse than that. But there are other times, and it's funny. I put up a video just now of just people where they almost don't get touched. And in some cases, they don't get touched. Not even a partial foul. Like, this is a problem in the NBA, too.
Yeah.
The NBA has floppers. And, they try to draw the offensive foul by trying to convince the ref there's more contact than there was.
Well,
it's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
We wanted to find out what it's like on the other side of the TV screen, so we thought we'd get one of the greatest footballers in the history of the game, David Beckham, to join us on the program and tell us what this diving is all about. Mr. Beckham, welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin Dean. How are you?
We're good.
Well, we're fine, and we're soccer fans. We're not trying to disparage your sport, but Kevin's right.
It's a very rugged sport.
Yes.
Yes.
It's very athletic, yeah, but the diving has got to stop. It is embarrassing.
First of all, it's not diving. It's a very physical sport.
Right.
And when you're out there in the field, there's a lot of kicking and pushing that goes on that people don't even see.
Right, agreed.
It can be very, very painful, and a lot of real, real men play it very hard, and it can be just brutal out there, and
yeah.
There's a lot of pain and a lot of...
You all right? David, what happened?
The phone is so heavy in my hand.
What are you talking about? Everybody can hold a phone.
All right, I'm better.
I think what we're saying is sometimes the wind blows and you throw yourself down on the ground like there's been a gas explosion.
No, that's not fair because it's very difficult to be out there running around with all the other ladies and...
The other ladies?
Men.
Yeah.
Other men. And you're going full tilt and someone comes...
Oh, no. You all right?
David? I dropped a newspaper on my foot.
David, there's no referee with you to call any kind of a penalty, so I'm not sure you're helping yourself.
It was a Sunday paper.
Right.
It was very heavy.
It is a little heavier than normal.
How much can that hurt, though? It's paper.
Yeah,
come on.
Supplements.
Are you guys...
advertising. There was lots of advertising.
Are you guys on the field familiar with the cameras and the instant replay? Because they slow it down sometimes, and it just is comical.
No, it's a trick of the eye. It's illusions. It looks like... that we aren't colliding.
No, you aren't colliding in many cases.
Devastating, devastating collisions. We're lucky any of us get out alive, quite frankly. And it's just...
Okay, what now?
What happened?
There was some pulp in my orange juice.
Pulp in your orange juice, really?
Pulp in my mouth. I broke my jaw.
You didn't break your jaw.
Now what? Come on.
What's happening?
My slipper fell off.
Your slipper fell off.
This is terrible.
My robe opened. It fell on my leg.
What is going on?
Sunshine came through the window. Sunshine came through the window. It knocked me down. I don't even know what that was. Nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
No, something somewhere, but I couldn't see it coming.
I see. David.
Oh, air is moving. Someone turn the fan on. Turn that fan off. Oh, my wife just called my name. My name hit me in the face. My own name.
Wait, your name hit you
in
the face?
My name attacked me. gravity. Gravity so hard. Gravity pulling me down. Underground.
Okay. Maybe. All right, Mr. Beckham, we're going to let you go.
My skin is so heavy.
Your skin is so heavy. Wow.
You okay?
You all right?
Am I better now?
Okay, good.
Oh,
come on.
Oh, my bladder's heavy on me.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 626.
That means you're also listening to a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Once again, curated for your enjoyment this week by Dave, the King of Mexico, the producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, who joins us in studio. Hey, King, what's going on?
Hey, that's me.
Congratulations on Mexico yesterday, by the way. Good game.
Yeah.
Woo.
Emoticondoms are not a real thing, as far as I know, but this commercial pretends that you have to put smiley faces on your penis condoms so that girls know what it is you're thinking. It's very funny.
Your penis is making a frowny face at me.
Oh, is that a frowny face? That's a winky smiley face.
I can never tell.
Does your girlfriend think your penis is frowny face when it's actually winky smiley face? Well, then you need emoticondoms.
Oh, I love you too.
Aren't there other ways to tell what your penis is thinking? I don't know. I just was confused by that.
That is not a confusing topic for anyone.
Game of Thrones is back with a recap of the final episode of season 4 of Game of Thrones on HBO. I know it's going to be very tough for people to live without this show, but this recap will tide you over for at least a couple more days because it's awesome. First of all, Jonathan recaps the game, and then watch the video to the end because there's a very special appearance from the man himself, George R. R. Martin, the guy who writes the books that the Game of Thrones TV show is based on, and it is very, very funny. Here's a little bit of this week's Game of Thrones.
So then Brother D goes to bust out Munch Munch from his jail cell, but instead of escaping, he goes to take a little farewell tour of the castle where he finds capital city Selena's in Papa Lannister's bed. And then he strangles her with her own necklace.
He went to Jared.
It can only be
Jared. By the way, Dave, were you thinking the same thing I did when George shows up at the end, the guy who writes the books, which is you're not allowed to be doing anything except staying alive long enough to finish writing this series,
exactly.
Right?
Like, little less videos, more writing.
Yeah, he's not allowed to go out to dinner. He's not allowed to watch TV. Just sit down and type, old man. Just type, because I'm terrified he's going to die before they're done. Epic Rap Battles is back. Epic Rap Battles of History. This is when they take two historical figures and they have them go, well, like the title says, in a rap battle. And this is a great one, too. Who's the actor who's playing Bill Nye? Do we know who that is, Dave?
I don't know.
But we do know who's playing Sir Isaac Newton, and that is our friend Weird Al. Listen to this.
I was born on Christmas. I'm God's gift. I unlock the stars that you're dancing with. You waste time debating creationists while I create the science you explain to kids.
Yes, that's true. What I used to do is teach kids science on my PBS show. Now I do what I gotta do to make sure science every dog can grow.
Great idea, and I can't believe how many great ones they keep coming up with, but that one is very, very funny. Our friends from Honest Trailers are back. This time they are doing a movie that I never saw, Kevin, but after watching their take on Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, yeah. I can't believe that movie got made.
Yeah, it's not really for you.
What a piece of crap this movie is, and Honest Trailers tells us why.
Turn off your brain for a plot that isn't just bad. It straight up makes no sense and leaves audiences everywhere wondering, why does the U.S. military forget it has an anti-Decepticon gun until the last 5 minutes of the movie? Why does the Allspark bring Megatron back to life if it's what killed him in the first place?
I guess you do get to see a lot of Megan Fox. Maybe that's the
sure.
only reason the movie was worth making.
That's a good reason.
Now, King, is your belief that this, what they call the banned Grey Poupon mustard ad, is real? Or is this somebody doing a parody of a Grey Poupon ad?
It's a parody.
Yeah, because it can't be real,
no,
right?
No, it's not real at all. It's a parody.
You see the people in the commercial who are putting mustard on things. Either they're actually, you know, physically putting it onto a sandwich or something like that, or it's dripping onto things. And wait till you hear the slug line they came up with for Grey Poupon.
I poop on my burger.
I poop on my potato salad. I poop on my fingers.
Grandma.
I guess I poop on my husband's chest.
Grey Poupon. Poupon. Everything.
Yeah. No, please. Last Week Tonight with John Oliver is a new news show, a Daily Show type show from a guy who used to be on The Daily Show, and it's on Sunday nights on HBO, and they had a great clip this week where they went to Cambridge, I want to say, is where Dr. Stephen Hawking, the smartest man in the world, is, and John Oliver did an interview with Dr. Hawking, and it's fantastic. I wish we had time to play more than just this little clip.
Who is talking to me right now? Is it you, or is it a sentient computer pretending to talk on your behalf?
It's me.
Yeah, but how do I know that, Professor? Because if computers had become sentient, what better way to convince people they hadn't than by co-opting the voice of the most intelligent man on the planet?
You're an idiot.
He's very funny in this interview, by the way. Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show goes back to the well one more time for the 8th rap, where he takes the video and the audio of Brian Williams hosting the NBC Nightly News, and he gets him to sing and say whatever the hell he wants. And this time he's got Brian Williams doing, well, I think you know it, the song from Sir Mix-a-Lot.
I like big butts, and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny that when a girl walks in with a midi-titty waist and a rounding in your face, you get sprung. Wanted to look tough because you noticed that butt was stuffed. Deep in the jeans she's wearing, I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh, baby, want to get with you and take your picture. My homeboy's trying to warn me that that butt you've got
me. Me, so horny.
I think this is the best one they've done.
It's great.
It's way less choppy.
And finally, Jimmy Kimmel continues his mean tweets segment. This is where he has celebrities who read actual things that were tweeted about them. And this is the NBA edition, and it's one of the very best.
Amari Stoudemire looks homeless.
Stephen Curry's facial hair is a little puby.
If anything ever happens, to the guy that does the voice of Cookie Monster, I can't sleep at night knowing we have Dikembe Mutombo as a backup.
How awesome is that?
You can see all these videos and so much more. Just go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Our friend Ray Romano is on the phone. You can see him working for charity tomorrow night at the Broad Stage in Santa Monica. This is going to be a great show, by the way. Ray is going to be there along with the very funny Kathleen Madigan, also Pete Holmes, who we love on this show, and very special guest host, a woman Ray knows well, Patricia Heaton, is going to be there too. They're going to be benefiting a charity called Harvest Home. Now, Ray, that's a charity to support all the women you knock up, or what's Harvest Home all about? What's that do?
First of all, my friend, thank you for having me on, but Saturday night, you said tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's Saturday.
Oh, right. I'm so sorry. I apologize. You're absolutely right. In my head, it's already Friday, and I don't know why. Yes, Saturday night, Broad Stage in Santa Monica, benefiting Harvest Home, correct?
Yeah, and if it was for the women, all the women that I knocked up, it would be over in 5 minutes. it's a wonderful thing. It takes these young pregnant women who, for whatever reason, are either homeless or down on their luck, and gives them a place to live and gets them on their feet and helps them have their babies. And they're a wonderful little place that I've become affiliated with.
That's wonderful. And I'm so happy to see you and Patricia Heaton working this thing together. I mean, that must be a thrill for people when they see you together because, we always imagine the people that we see married on TV are married in real life. It's very weird for us that you're not.
He's just like my wife. I don't sleep with either of them. I've tried.
With both.
But she's working now. She's got her own show.
That's but right. Does she stand on the stage with you, and when you tell a joke, does she go, "Oh, Raymond"?
She's going to host. She's going to be the host, right. MC. She'll probably say some disparaging things about me up front and do an impression of me that will probably rival Ralph. I think Pete Holmes does a great impression. And if you look up on YouTube, he does Singing with the Hits. And does Ray Romano singing all like an album, singing all the hits? If I put out an album,
that's awesome. Yeah. We love Pete. Again, it's Saturday night in Santa Monica at the Broad Stage. You can go to rayandfriends.tix.com, rayandfriends.tix.com, or just do a search for Harvest Home. It'll come up. Hey, Ray, I wanted to ask you, we're planning a big farewell show tomorrow for Kevin. As you know, he's leaving after the show to head to Brazil.
I just want to stop you right there.
Yeah.
I know Kevin's wife. Kevin knows my wife.
Right.
Uh-huh. How long have you been married, Kevin?
18 years.
I've been married 26 years.
All right.
Yeah. If you had to pick one place in the country where probably your wife, if she was at all jealous or whatever, wouldn't want you to go, it's Brazil. And if you had to pick out one time, it would probably be during the World Cup.
Right.
How do you get away with it? how can I come with you?
It's not.
I heard in Brazil you gain an inch on your penis as soon as you get off the plane. The humidity and the heat and the craziness.
You know what they're talking about, though, Ray, is the dengue fever.
Oh, boy.
Which mosquitoes carry, because we're going right into the Amazon.
I was going to say, they're not playing in the rainforest, right?
They are playing in the rainforest.
They are. The stadium that Kevin is going to this weekend to see the USA soccer team play is in the middle of the Amazon jungle. No joke. You can't even drive there. You have to fly there. It's so far into the jungle.
That can't be right.
See, so here's the thing about that. Even if your wife said it was fine,
I wouldn't go.
You would not go.
I wouldn't go. My wife, we're married 26 years. I still think she's not quite sold on me yet. One wrong move by me, and I'm out of there.
Ray,
well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Could probably, why don't you come home with a monkey? Buy a monkey. I think you can buy a monkey right off a truck.
I bet you can, Kevin. You've always wanted a monkey.
And then can I just put him on my seat when I fly back, do you think? They could sit with me?
You're flying private, right?
Oh,
private?
Yeah. Sure. No.
Ray, you strike me as a guy who needs a controlled environment. Like, it's hilarious to think about Kevin going to Brazil and having no idea how it's going to come out. You strike me as a guy who would panic if the thermostat got within, more than 2 degrees away from where you wanted it.
Coming from you, I don't know if that's. Aren't you a member of that club also?
A little bit, yeah. I do like things in order. Yeah,
yeah.
You're the guy that does radio in a bubble, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's correct. But Ray's also the guy who, if he has a freckle, he's convinced that it's deadly cancer.
Same with me.
Look at this.
This morning I killed a spider. I was taking a shower and I killed a spider, and that's nerve-wracking for me. But I didn't have to kill it, but he saw me masturbating.
You can't let him
might talk.
Can't let him get the word out.
You can't let him go because they don't understand that. Do insects? I don't know. Can they masturbate?
Well, can they? I don't know.
Well, they should. The one that should. If anyone should, the guy who, the, I don't know what his name is, the one who has to have sex with the Black Widow spider. He should be allowed to at least have another option.
Rather than just being killed?
Yes, exactly.
Hit it and quit life?
I love that you give it that thought.
I am a little bit of a hypochondriac.
A little bit.
Yeah. When push comes to shove, I step up. I'd like to be on Naked and Afraid. Have you seen Naked and Afraid?
Yeah, that's insane. They just drop you off in the middle of a forest someplace and you're completely naked.
Yeah. But it's fun. That's probably... you could probably do an episode of that in Brazil if you just made a left turn somewhere.
Yeah.
There's unbelievable. 10 days you're going to be there?
Yeah, there's that, and there's also, you'll love this, Ray, there's a spider that if it bites you, this is what Joe Rogan told us yesterday because he's been there many times for the UFC. There's a spider that bites you, and the side effect of the spider is that you get an erection for more than 4 hours. It's super painful.
Viagra?
And it can basically explode.
Yeah, it flatlines your penis, basically, and then you die.
Wait a minute, your penis can explode?
Yes.
Yes.
It's like a penis pinata?
Yes.
Not a joke. It's a spider, yeah. Exactly.
And oddly enough, I have candy in there that would come out.
Yeah, well, you know what? I've seen the women in Brazil. It's all worth it.
Kevin, you better bring back some photos. You know what I'm saying?
I will do my best, yes. You're talking about naked women, Bean. I know.
Yeah, send some vines or whatever the kids are sending.
Whatever the kids are doing. Yeah. All right, listen. We're almost out of time. Our friend Ray Romano is on the phone. He is going to be appearing again. It is Saturday night at the Broad Stage in Santa Monica. This sounds like a great night. You there with Patricia Heaton from the TV show. Also, Pete Holmes is going to be there, the very funny Kathleen Madigan. And it's a charity called Harvest Home, a residential program for homeless pregnant women and their babies. It's a great occasion and a big night of fun, and you should go out and see Ray Romano because he's very funny. And Ray, we will have a co-host opening here after Kevin doesn't come back from Brazil, so I'm going to put your name in the hat. We'd love to have you.
Oh, yeah. If he gets spider penis death, put me in a running.
Spider penis death. I like it. Now, one last thing, Ray. You are doing a show with Martin Scorsese on HBO. When that comes out, can we have you back on?
If I don't get fired, man, I'll go on. You got me.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. That's his big fear from the very second he was contacted, is that he's going to be fired.
Well, you know, it's crazy. It's Martin Scorsese, who, by the way, I met is the coolest guy in the world.
But had no idea who you were.
And it's about you guys. It's about the radio. I play a record exec, but it's all about the payola and all that corruption.
In
the 70s, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, we got into radio way too late for the payola,
Ray. Oh, don't tell me the Foo Fighters ain't hitting you on the side.
All right, Ray, have a great weekend.
I love the Foo Fighters. They don't need to give you money.
No, they don't. Absolutely not. All right, thank you, Ray.
Have fun. Thank you, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 6:53.
By the way, the envelope of cash just arrived, so let's play some Foo Fighters next, could we, please?
Sure.
Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
I think Lisa's catching Kevin.
I know. Lately,
she's been on a roll.
She has been making a lot of mistakes. Yeah. I don't know that
celebrate Sumner.
My mouth seems to have frozen. I don't know what's going on.
Game of Throats. I like Game of Throats.
Don't blame that on me. That's on
you.
Her.
Nope,
that
I'm blaming on her. You
spreading completely. It, man.
How dare you. Kevin spreading the bean, too. Oh, it flatlines the penis. What's going on, man?
I don't know.
People. What's the actual expression? What did I want to say there?
Redlines it. Takes it all the way to the max. Flatlines would mean nothing going on.
I thought that's what happened.
Flippy floppy.
That's at the end of it blowing up, I believe. It is flatlined.
Then it's flatlined.
Redline first. Redlines is like when you're hitting the engine and it goes all the way into the red. It revs up and
stays there very long. You're in a lot of trouble.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Come on, people. Now,
if we could all be perfect like you, then the world would be a better place.
Oh Jesus. Yeah. Because you never make fun of people when they speak incorrectly.
Come on, guys. Can't we all just get along?
There's a bad idea for a movie. Felix the Cat. Really? Do we need to bring him back into the pop culture scene?
Which one was he? What did he do?
Felix the Cat was the wonderful, wonderful cat.
He's not Grumpy Cat, though.
No. Felix the Cat is a 95-year-old cartoon character.
Okay.
Which has just been announced will be getting a big screen, big budget makeover by Jeffrey Katzenberger. Started out as shorts in the movies in the 1920s. Then in the 50s, started airing on television. He had a magical bag of tricks, Felix did. Yeah, you probably best know him as that big sign near USC for that car dealership.
That's how right,
most people
sure.
know him.
Yeah. Totally.
Is Felix the Cat, but yeah.
I remember him being in the newspaper, in the comic strips when I was a kid.
I don't know if you do or not. I don't believe he was ever a comic strip character.
But if he was, Bean would have read it.
He was an animated character for many years, however. More bad ideas. A new Scooby-Doo reboot. A live-action Scooby-Doo movie. Sure, now that Casey's dead.
Right.
Now that he can't cash in. I'm sure he would have loved to play Shaggy on the big screen. You may remember the hit film with Freddie Prinze Jr. and Sarah Michelle Gellar, Matthew Lillard, Linda Cardellini. That one made $268 million back in 2002. Yeah.
Wow.
Very successful sequel. It was released in 2004. Well, it looks like Warner Brothers has decided it's time to introduce the Mystery Machine and the Scooby Gang to a brand new audience. And so they're going to recast it and trot it out again. And Lord, this is a fascinating story to me. Lord, first of all, her parents are finally ready to commit to each other after 30 years. Apparently they're going to get married.
They weren't Lord's married parents. For no. 30 years?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
His Lord's dad, Vic O'Connor, popped the question to his longtime love, Sonia, after a trip to Niagara Falls last Monday. And Lord apparently could not be happier. She said, however, that she owes her, how grounded she is, to the fact that her parents, which, and this is her quote, know what young people need in order to keep her head on straight. And I thought this was fascinating. Her mom takes her iPhone from her at night.
Still?
Yes. At the age of 17, with all those smash hit records, her mom says, okay, give me the phone, and that's it. She gets so much phone time, and at nighttime, mom takes it away, and Lord doesn't get to go on the social media and talk to her friends and everything
that's
via her
weird.
Phone. It is weird, but is it smart?
Maybe.
Is it good?
Yeah, it seems like
it may
like
be
both
weird, but
things.
Is it good? I mean, most teenage girls would murder their mother if
right.
that happened.
Yeah, but if you start when they're young, then
I
they're
suppose
just
if
used
that's,
to
the,
it.
That's the way they live, but look. Looks like it worked. Lord seems like she's got her head on pretty straight. So
whatever's happening,
she
is
came
working.
Out all right.
She did a good job. But I just was stunned by that. She's like, I'm Lord! Where's that Rolling Stone with me in it? Read that! Give me my damn phone!
Hello, Grammys!
That's what Bieber would say.
And throw an egg at his mom.
That's right. And more music news. Lady Gaga showed up at the graduation ceremonies Monday at the Frank Sinatra School of the Arts in Queens. That's the school that Tony Bennett helped launch in 2001. He's been at every commencement since the place opened, and they did a duet together. So she showed up in support of her friend Tony Bennett. But the real news was what she looked like. She was wearing a robe and a long black curly wig. She looked like Cher from 1985, basically.
Okay.
And everyone was saying, who is that crazy woman? And it turned out it was Gaga, and then they sang a duet together on stage, she and Tony Bennett.
Did you hear any of that song they sang, Ralph? I was very surprised by it.
I did not.
I have a clip.
All right.
I love you, puppy. I love you, puppy. I love you, love you, love you, puppy. I love you, puppy. I love you, love you, love you, puppy. I love you, puppy. I love you, love you, love you, puppy. Yeah, that's my puppy. I love you, love you, love you, puppy.
I mean, Tony Bennett still got it.
Wait, that's Tony?
What the hell?
Hello, is this thing on?
Sadly, yes. Today's celebrity birthdays. Willa Holland's 23 years old today. Dave Giantoli from Grimm is 34. Blake Shelton, you know him from The Voice, but he's also a country music star. He's 38. And singer, legend, icon Paul McCartney is 72 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We want to send you to see Lollapalooza in Chicago the first weekend of August. It's K-Rock's Road Trip USA 2014, stop number one. Here's what I love about K-Rock, by the way, is we're qualifying you to go to Lollapalooza by giving you absolutely nothing.
Well, they get their name in a drawing.
Right.
And that could turn into absolutely nothing.
So 99.999% of the people who qualify get nothing out of it.
Right, but one of them will win.
One of them gets to go to Chicago.
Right.
That's true. Kings, Leon, Foster, the People, Lord, Eminem, Arctic Monkeys, and so much more. 9:10 this morning will hook you up. And then again throughout the day at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10. Keep listening for your chance to qualify. Details at KRock.com.
If we know our audience like we think we do, a lot of you lied to get your jobs. I mean, look, that's just the honest, God's honest truth is when you walk into a job interview, if they ask you if you can do something, you always just respond yes.
Yeah, there's no downside.
No downside. If they find out you're lying, they fire you. If you don't lie, you probably won't get the job.
Right.
I so lie your asses off, people. Come on.
I guess that's true. Woo! Now, would we be outing a recent guest on the Kevin and Bean Show by identifying him or her in this next story?
I don't think she would care.
I don't either.
I mean, okay. He or she.
We're going to take your calls about things that you lied about to get a job. Maybe something that you faked on your resume or some skill that you said you had that you didn't. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. And we talked about this about a year ago, but it came up again recently because Ashley Esqueda came into the studio. She's with CNET, and she is a very smart woman, and she's really, really good at her job, and she knows everything there is to know about tech. But when she went to get the job, or a previous job, I think it was, she was asked, hey, are you proficient in the Android operating system? And she had never touched it. Had hell no, right? What did Ashley say when they asked her that question?
Of course.
Absolutely. Love it.
Yes, sir, I am.
It's my favorite.
Yep.
So she had like 3 days before she was supposed to come back in for the next phase of the interview process.
Oh, and no. No. She got the job. She had 3 days to learn everything about it when she did the show.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah.
That's balls.
Yes. So she had the job. So now she has to be an authority on this operating system that she knows nothing about. So she basically just went into, hey, it's finals mode. You know what I mean? It's cram time.
Yep.
And she just mainlined every word she could find until she got to the point where she knew how to do the Android operating system. I mean, that is ballsy, but that's also what you need sometimes in order to take that next step, right? To get ahead, to get the job.
Yeah. You get your foot in the door and then you can figure it out from there.
But, I mean, Ashley is the type of person who could probably BS her way through a lot of things because she's very smart and she obviously has a knack for that sort of work. I mean, she's obviously very computer literate, so she was the right person to be able to pull that off. I bet there are a lot of people, though, who have been hired. Yeah, I can drive an 18-wheeler. You know what I mean? And it's just not the type of thing you can just automatically slide in and just do.
I've been doing that since I was
before.
A child.
Right, exactly. There are people I know that have just bald-faced, made-up college transcripts have just...
Sure.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, I graduated from Dartmouth. Sure I did. You know, because if they don't call, they don't know. You can put anything down on the resume, right?
Sure. I can't imagine they have time to really...
I didn't think they did,
to really follow up.
I've heard that they actually do. A lot of times they
call.
I would be surprised by that.
Depending on the job. If it's an important job, they probably do.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a police officer or something,
right. Yeah. I would imagine so. But I mean, I would bet for a lot of administrative office jobs, does it really matter where you went to college or what your grade point average really was? I mean,
not
you
at
pretty
all.
Much could make it up. They had a plot line on Mad Men last year with the enigmatic Bob Benson, who we have since this episode that I'm about to play a highlight from aired. We've learned a lot more about how crazy Bob is. You know who he is, Lisa. He's the Weasley one, right?
Yeah.
And it turned out that they did a little background checking after he had already been working at the ad agency for some time. And they found out that his story just did not hold water of the things that he had used to apply to get the job. Listen up.
I'm going to need more than this kid Bob Benson's personnel record. It might as well be written in steam.
What do you mean?
I don't even know if the name is real. I don't know where he went to college, but it wasn't Beloit. I tried a buddy at Wharton. He said maybe he's just telling people Wharton, so he's going to check the whole University of Pennsylvania. But it's tough when I don't know if he's really 28 years old. The most interesting is the Brown Brothers Harriman job. You told me that.
I got that from him.
Well, I have a friend there. Turns out they all remember Bobby. He's from West Virginia. Parents are brother and sister or something. He was a manservant for 3 years to a senior vice president. He took him to Europe on the Queen Elizabeth.
Are you kidding me?
He had three references. Two non-working numbers at K&E and a live one at Cunningham. They said he just disappeared one day with an electric pencil sharpener and the Christmas card list.
So what does that mean?
Mostly, that his only job opportunity was someplace dumb enough not to ask any questions, and so far, that's just you guys.
I would imagine back then at the time period that Mad Men has said, it was a lot harder. I mean, you literally had to get somebody on the phone to get that kind of information.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that was even before faxes, wasn't it? Or they were just brand new. But
yeah,
now
you can Google it.
At least with the internet, yeah, now it's a little bit easier to look stuff up. But there are still people who are lying to get jobs. Let's take one call real quick before the break. This is Monica. She's calling us from West Hills. She is on line one, and she is up first on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking to you about the things you lied about to get a job. Hi, Monica.
Hi, good morning. What's up, party people?
Hi there.
You lied your way into a job?
Yeah, I was interviewing for a teaching position at a Catholic high school. I was being interviewed by a nun. She was the president of the school. And I had to tell her that I was Catholic and an active member of my parish to get the job.
Mm.
And I got the job.
All right, but wait.
I felt really guilty.
Did you know anything about the Catholic religion, or did you have enough knowledge that you could actually just BS your way through it?
I mean, if she had asked more questions, I probably would have had a hard time.
Yeah.
I love that you lied to a nun. That's the best.
That is pretty strong.
Now,
did
you become Catholic when you got the job or anything?
No. I mean, I didn't really have to, and then it didn't last long anyway, so yeah.
But you're still going to hell, though, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Sure. All right, Monica, thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. What did you lie about to get a job? We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's weird to think that Seth Green is our tallest guest next hour, but Brad Williams is coming in after him. So
yeah.
That's our 8 o'clock hour straight ahead here on K-Rock. Right now we're talking about you lied. Something on your resume wasn't true to get a job. Lou writes in, hey, someone told me once if they ask you if you can do something, tell them I love to fill in the blank. It implies you know how to do it without forcing you to directly lie about it.
That's a
tip to kind of get away. But it still doesn't really matter when you get to the point where you're asked to do the thing that you said you love and then you can't.
I lied about getting a welding job when I was younger. I was in college and a friend was working at a welding company and they said, can you weld? Now, that's something that like they can tell if you can do it or not. And I just went over to my friend. And I was like, how do you do this? I told him I could do it, of course. No idea.
Because it sort of involved fire, so you figured
exactly.
You could figure it out. Let's go to Jeff real quick. He's up next on line four on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're taking your calls about things you lied about to get a job at 1-800-520-1067. What's Jeff got going on?
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
We can.
Awesome. So I'm adopted, but I was adopted later than normal adopted kids are adopted. I was about 11 years old.
Right.
And so I have a different last name than my adopted parent.
Right.
And I recently graduated college and I started applying for jobs, but I had no work experience. And that's not, I don't want a blank section in my resume for my job experience. So I made up two companies. Let's just say my adopted parents is, let's say their last name's Greenberg. So I made up Greenberg Partners and said I worked there.
Okay.
I listed my parents as references.
Nice.
With different last names so they don't see that it's that these people are related to.
Pretty smart.
So did you fill your parents in on it in case they called?
What's that?
Did you tell your parents about it in case a phone call came?
Oh, of course they were in on it.
Sweet.
Oh, that's great.
Adoptive parents love their kids just as much as biological parents.
I know they do in general, but I'm not positive about you yet, Jeff.
I'm sure you've disappointed them plenty of times along the way, though. All right, Jeff, thank you so much for the call. Let's go down to Lawrence in Monterey Park, please. He's on line five.
All right. Good morning, Lawrence.
How's it going?
You lied to get a job.
I did. Lisa May, hello.
Hello.
Anyways, I was applying for a Japanese hotel in Little Tokyo. And they asked if I spoke fluent Japanese, and of course I said yes.
Wow, you could be called on that right there on the spot.
You know, you could if the people that were interviewing you or the HR department actually spoke Japanese, but since they didn't, kind of pulled it off.
Nice.
But if you got the job, what happens when you showed up on day one and answered the phone?
Well, I had taken some Japanese 101 and, you know, knew some of the numbers and, you know, the regular greetings and stuff, but as far as hotel Japanese,
Yeah, I had to wing it for the first couple weeks and just copy and ask for a lot of assistance, and it didn't work out too well.
So they found you out eventually and just said you can't speak it well enough?
No, they actually let me stay on because they actually needed somebody there, and my Japanese got better and better the more I spoke. And So I ended up working there 12 years with a supervisor. And,
wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Now I'm actually going to Japan next week on vacation.
So it worked out great.
Fantastic.
It worked out good.
Lie, people.
Thank you. Lie, people. That's what we're saying.
By the way, doesn't it sound like every one of these stories has worked out?
Yeah, pretty much.
For people?
Yeah.
Let's go to Michael up next. He's in Ontario. He's on line 3 on the Kevin Amin Show.
Hi, Michael. Hello.
Hey, Michael. Going once. Going twice. And it's Leslie, line 6, Los Angeles. Hi, Leslie. Thank you for calling. What's going on?
So, I went for an interview at Ernst & Young way back in the day for their IT services department, like a help desk.
That's an accounting firm, right?
Yeah, help desk.
Wait, a help desk?
Help
desk. So everybody that has questions comes to you for answers?
At the accounting firm.
Well, in the Pacific Southwest.
Oh, so only in the Pacific Southwest.
Only,
all right.
Yeah.
So I had the interview on Friday, and I wowed them with my charms. And Friday evening, I got the call that I got the job. And I was like, oh, crap. So I went out to Fry's. That's an electronics store out here. And I bought this book, like a phone book, Microsoft Office Step by Step. And I studied that book from Friday night to Sunday evening. Like I was studying for the MCAT.
Yeah.
And when I walked in there on Monday, I knew more stuff than people that had been there for like 15 years.
Seriously?
Wow. So
that's
you
impressive.
Lied, but only to buy yourself 3 days of study.
Yeah. So 3 days, you can learn the whole thing. I mean, if you really put your mind to it. And the funny thing was, I gave a class. I gave a class to this business management division, and they loved it so much that they took me from creative services and put me in the business management group, and that's what I'm doing now, and I'm a business manager.
That's unbelievable.
See? Oh my God.
Hey, if you take any,
for years and years.
If you take anything away from today's show, it's lie.
Yes.
It always works out.
It does. It does. It really does.
I love it. All right. Congratulations. Thanks for calling.
All right, bye.
Okay, bye now.
You have to be so happy, Kevin. Your favorite politician is going back to work at the end of this month.
Oh, I love Rob Ford so much.
Mayor of Toronto, he's this guy.
Do you smoke crack cocaine?
Exactly. Yes, I have smoked crack cocaine.
When,
but
sir?
No, do I? Am I an addict? No.
When have you?
Have I tried it? Probably in one of my drunken stupors, probably approximately about a year ago.
That's the best politician in the world who says, yeah, I smoked crack cocaine, but probably because I was blackout drunk.
Yeah, this guy didn't even ask him about drinking.
No, well, everyone drinks.
He brought that up.
This guy has been in and out of rehab. You see him party, and he's always out there like dancing and sweating and swearing and getting in fights. And he's just the best. But he's been in rehab, and he is coming back to work at the end of the month. And then he's up for re-election in the fall, I guess,
I don't
know, in November.
He's sort of a quitter to me. I'm sure he can follow through with what he needs to do.
Ralph gave us a story earlier this week that is fantastic. I don't see a lot of live theater, but I think I would like to see Rob Ford the Musical. Apparently, it is a thing that is happening. They're going to be putting it on in September, and they are currently in the process of auditioning candidates to play Rob Ford in the play. Can you imagine how awesome that could be?
Oh, that would be so good.
I'm very excited to find out more about it. So we asked Dave, hey, could you line somebody up from Toronto? And I believe we have the man who is writing the show, and he is Brett McCraig. And he joins us on the Kevin Amin Show on K-Rock right now. Mr. McCraig, thanks so much for the time, sir.
How's it going, eh?
It's going well.
It's going great. So the Rob Ford the Musical is happening.
Yeah, we're going to be up on stage for 2 weeks in September. And it'll be just before the election, eh? So, you know, I think the timing's pretty good.
Now, is this a pro-Rob Ford thing or an anti-Rob? I mean, are you trying to sway the election one way or the other?
No, it's not about, you know, it's not political, eh? We're just put, you know, Rob Ford is a larger-than-life character. And, you know, it's about his, you know, adventures and his antics. And we're just putting it up there, you know, in an entertaining fashion. At least we hope so.
Right. And you had quite a turnout from, you know, fat, balding guys who want to play the mayor.
Yeah, we had open auditions, for the lead character of Rob.
Right.
And we had, you know, about 300 guys showed up.
Wow.
Auditioned from all over Canada, So, you know, we had guys who are professional actors all the way to people who just thought they looked like him to people who just wanted to be part of this because, you know, he's a pretty polarizing character in Canadian politics.
Sure.
And also, a lot of people think, you know, oh, here's my chance to, you know, my big break. So we think people are going to like it, and we think it's going to be, you know, well attended.
Now, you wrote some of the songs in this too, right?
Yeah, I wrote the book and all the songs as well.
Okay.
And we're doing it, you know, through Second City here in Toronto. And so we go up for 2 weeks in September, which, of course, is just before the election. But like I said, we're not like bashing him or anything.
Right.
But we're not pro Ford either. It's just this absurd character in, you know, Canadian culture. We thought it would just be perfect for a musical, a big, you know, bombastic musical. Eh?
Yeah. What kind of songs are you doing? Are they parody songs of well-known pop hits, or are you writing all original music, or what's going on?
It's mostly parody songs. But, you know, there are some original things in there as well. And, you know, now that we've finally found our Rob Ford, I think everyone is going to be really impressed by this guy. He can sing, he can act, and we're really looking forward to, you know, everyone coming out to see it.
Oh, so you already cast him. Good.
Yeah, a guy named Gordon Thompson is our Rob Ford. We finally found him, and we're already hard at work, and we're laying down the soundtrack as well. We're making an album out of it.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And we just finished the... Just finished the commercial, because we're already we're starting ticket sales already, because we think we're going to sell out. So we're already got a commercial running, and I think people start buying it.
That's very exciting.
Yeah. I'd love to hear that.
Well, I sent your producer, the guy there, who doesn't speak English very well, by the way. I don't know if you know that or not.
The King of Mexico?
Yeah, it's hard to understand his accent, eh?
Yeah, uh-huh.
It's like, what's that all about?
You know what else? He can't speak Spanish either, which is strange.
So I sent him a commercial, and I said, you know, maybe, you know, it's a long way to go from Los Angeles to Toronto, but I thought maybe people might want to buy tickets when they hear a little bit of the musical, eh?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, we'd love to hear it. Thank you very much for saying that. Yeah, let's hear some of Rob Ford the musical then.
Coming this fall, it's a brand new musical, eh? At the Toronto Civic Light Opera, about our famous mayor, Rob Ford, eh? It's Rob Ford, the musical, eh? When he started out, he was just drunk and fat, right?
I am drunk and fat, whoa. A tub of goo, I am drunk and fat, whoa. Big fat tub of goo.
And then we thought things couldn't get worse, eh? Boy, were we wrong. That's when he found crack.
A little pipe full of crack in my hand. When I get real drunk, I want to smoke all that I can.
And so after embarrassing us, like internationally, Rob Ford says he still wants to run for mayor, eh?
Toronto, Toronto. I want to be your mayor some more. Toronto, Toronto. Till I'm passed out on the floor. I don't care what the voters say. This election's on. It's only Canada anyway.
Is this guy unbelievable or what, eh? Coming this fall to the Toronto Civic Light Opera. It's Rob Ford the musical, eh? Get your tickets now, eh?
I would love to.
That sounds so good.
I'll set you guys aside some tickets. Hey, you come out and check it out, the show.
That would be great.
Deal.
Thank you, Brett. Just want to make sure it's over. That's all. Just giving it time to breathe.
What are you working on there in your mouth? What's going on there?
That's the first time I've been asked that this morning.
Yeah, what meal are you having
now? It's the world famous K-Rock. It is 10 minutes to late.
What is Kevin eating?
Nuts.
Is that our new game?
Eating nuts.
He's got nuts in his mouth again?
Okay.
Seth Green and then Brad Williams as we wind down Kevin's tenure here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, today and tomorrow, the last 2 days of Kevin. Really on Earth, because he probably won't come back from Brazil. We'll talk more about that next hour. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
When you talk to Seth Green,
mm-hmm.
I want you to congratulate him.
On?
According to The Hollywood Reporter, Nickelodeon has picked up a fourth season of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. 20 episodes will be rolled out next fall, and our buddy Seth will once again be the voice of Leonardo.
Yay!
Third season begins this fall. Other stars you might know, Sean Astin voices Raphael, and Corey Feldman as Slash. Of course, the live-action Turtles movie will be seen in theaters August the 8th, which stars Megan Fox and Will Arnett. So.
Three,
upstanding Americans are being held by the police, and I will not stand for this. No justice, no peace.
All right. What'd they do?
Until these three men are released, there's going to be hell to pay. Michael Horrigan, 29. Tristan Kading, 28. And Emily Kading, 26. Have all been arrested and charged with disorderly conduct. And I will not rest until they are freed and exonerated. The three young people were charged Sunday with hurling beer bottles and screaming curses at Taylor Swift's house.
Oh.
Yes.
They should get an award.
That's what I'm saying. I want one of those Star Wars type endings where they stand up and I put a ribbon with a gold medal around each of their necks. And then Chewie goes, we play bombastic music behind it. Police say they were contacted by one of Swift's security guards, who said the two males and female threw beer bottles onto the singer's property in the direction of the house and were extending their middle fingers.
Ralph, is there any way that you were there doing that?
And shouting corresponding expletives about Taylor as they bombarded her home with beer bottles. Sadly, they were arrested on Sunday.
Come on.
Wait till I get on that jury, man.
No kidding.
She's a bitch.
Ain't that the truth? And it looks like there may be another Father of the Bride movie. There have been two, starring Steve Martin. Father of the Bride 3, Perez Hilton is reporting that bigwigs over at Disney and Warner Brothers are set to launch another sequel to the franchise, where another one of Steve's daughters is headed to the altar. However, this may just be speculation, wild speculation on the part of someone, because Steve Martin tweeted, "I'm so excited they're doing another Father of the Bride, but I haven't seen a script or been offered the role."
Okay.
So he knows nothing about it. Maybe he just wants to see it. Maybe it's a movie he'd like to see.
It's a weird industry where all of those rumors are out there for a long time, and then you go to the people and ask them, and they go, don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
It may still work.
Sometimes rumors make things happen. So, yeah. Hey, that's a great idea. What do you think about that? Warners will read that story and then they'll greenlight that picture. Molly Ringwald, speaking of movies, said to Us Weekly magazine this week that she finally showed her daughter The Breakfast Club. Her daughter, Matilda, who's 10, has never seen that film before. She wanted to see what her reaction would be, so she sat down with her daughter and showed her The Breakfast Club. She said she was very nervous. It was like a date where you want everything to go okay, she said, about showing her daughter her most seminal picture. I wonder if she's seen Pretty in Pink or any of the other films she did. But it's a piece of everyone's.
Kids are so brutally honest, too. You know, yeah. You don't want her to go. That
really,
was
Mom?
Not very
that
good.
Sucked.
Oh, the movie was good.
Nelson's awful. And Kanye West has a complaint. You're going to find this hard to believe, but he's complaining about something.
Wow, this is different.
Yeah. Turns out that Annie Leibovitz, the legendary celebrity photographer, was supposed to shoot Kanye and Kim on their wedding, but she pulled out at the very last minute. Besides, she did not want to do it. Well, okay. He took his opportunity at the Lions Creativity Conference yesterday to lash out at Annie, saying that the legendary Vogue photographer, she's like scared of the idea of celebrity. Yeah, that's what it is, because she's never photographed anyone famous before, Kanye.
Has she photographed more famous people than anyone on Earth?
Yes, that happens to be the case.
Yeah, that's her gig.
Photographed John Lennon,
yep.
And just
right, everybody
of any note ever.
I think maybe she's afraid of a-holes.
Maybe, or she has taste.
Yeah.
Could also be the problem. Madonna, the cougar has struck again, once again as a much younger man as her boyfriend. His name is Timur Steffens.
The okay.
Duo hooked up earlier this year. And if you're keeping track at home, Madonna at 55, her new boyfriend clocks in at 26 years old. So look, good for the goose, good for the gander, right?
Yep.
And remember The Situation, Mike Sorrentino, The Situation from
sure.
Jersey Shore?
Of course.
He's back in the news. Not for having accomplished anything, because cops had to be called to his family's tanning salon in Middletown, New Jersey. Of course they own a tanning salon. When he got into a fist fight with his brother, Frank.
The story has everything.
It does. At time of the story, he was set to post $500 bail and be released. It's been a rough month for the Sorrentino family and their tanning salon. Last week, police were called out because employees were upset that their paychecks were bouncing.
Wow.
It's nice to know that the reality stars do go away. I mean, when's the last time you heard of the situation?
Yes,
for a while, he was everywhere, and now he is inconsequential, except when he's punching his brother.
You were excluded from the surf and turf night.
Yeah.
You were excluded from ravioli night. Yeah. You were excluded from chicken cutlet night.
Yeah, his brother can't eat with the family anymore.
That's right.
You're good in avoidance situations, and you're situated, and I'm situated. Situation's under control.
That's right. Remember we were saying about American Idol, how do they get people to audition for that show anymore? It seems like the talent pool has been drained dry, and yet they're going ahead with another season. Well, they've got a new incentive, which I think is just insidious. Producers behind American Idol want you to know that if you have a talented friend or family member and you can force them to audition and then they win the competition, you win $50,000. It's like a bounty. They're putting a bounty on the heads of singers.
That's weird.
Say your kid doesn't really want to audition for it, but you push them into it and you're the one behind it. If they end up winning the competition, you get a check for 50 grand. It's called the True Believer Auditions. If someone behind you is the true believer in your talent, they will also get a chunk of the prize money.
Hmm.
New auditions kick off today in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Other stops include New Orleans, Uniondale, Long Island, Nashville, San Francisco. So if you want to be on American Idol.
Is this show going to last forever, do you think?
Nah. I think it's circling the drain.
Running out of steam?
Yeah. We'll see a couple more of them, then I think they'll say God bless. Goodbye. Today's celebrity birthday is Willa Holland's 23 years old today. Dave Giantoli, I believe is how you pronounce his name, from Grimm. He is 34. Blake Shelton from The Voice. That's the successful singing competition.
Yes, that's a good one now.
38 years old. And singer Paul McCartney is 72 years old today. It feels like it was just yesterday when Kevin was insulting one of the great Paul McCartney by hanging up on him mid-conversation.
I don't know if we'll ever have a chance to do this again, Sir Paul, but thank you so much for the time. It's a real honor to have you on the program today.
That's a really nice interview. So, I hope to see you at the gig.
Absolutely, sir. Thanks for the call.
Let's make it a date.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Bye. Oops. You hung up on Paul McCartney.
Well, he was saying goodbye. Because I hung up on him and everybody's focusing on that, we didn't have a lot of time to focus on Bean.
Yeah, what'd you think of the show, Bean?
Lying to Paul McCartney.
What did you think of Paul's show?
Hey, hope to see you there. Absolutely, sir.
Did you enjoy your show?
It hasn't happened yet. I think it's happening in August.
Oh, but where are your
seats?
Where are your seats? I'm sure
it didn't seem like it was a good use of Sir Paul's time to explain that I live 1,000 miles away from Dodger Stadium, so I probably wouldn't be there. So I just thought, toss him a bone.
See you there.
So you thought lie? I just thought
see you there made more sense.
No, it wasn't see you there. Absolutely, is what you said about going to a show.
It wasn't. Oh, you wouldn't miss it for anything in the world.
Maybe I'll check it out. If I can, I will. I'll be. Absolutely.
I think I was speaking.
Absolutely,
I was,
sir. Thanks for
speaking more for the hundreds of listeners, maybe, who were, would actually
it's
be
funny
there
because
as a result
Paul McCartney wasn't talking to any of them.
No, he said, I hope to see you at the show, and I believe you said.
Absolutely, sir.
Yes, I did.
Absolutely, sir.
But you know what I didn't do?
Yeah.
Hang up on Paul McCartney. That I didn't do.
Make it a date.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you guys. Bye.
Oops.
So that happened.
Oops. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
All this week, we are qualifying you for Lollapalooza in Chicago. First weekend of August. It's K-Rock's Road Trip USA 2014, stop number one. About an hour from right now, we'll give you a chance to qualify for that. And then throughout the day at 12, 10, 3, 10, and 6, 10, you can go to K-Rock.com for another chance to qualify and get some more details as well.
We have a lot of friends who work so much harder than us. You ever notice that, Bean?
Absolutely.
People have like 3-4 TV shows on and all kinds of different projects that they're working on with 17 different companies and 25 different people.
Yeah.
A lot of hats some people wear.
We
can barely keep one job going and do that well. I think it sounds like you're talking about Seth Green, right?
I am, yes.
Hey, Seth.
Hey, guys.
Welcome back. How many jobs do you have, by the way, for reals?
I mean, right now we're finishing up the season of Robot Chicken, and I'm still working on Family Guy, and then I'll do days on the Hulk cartoon that I'm working on and the Turtles cartoon that I started doing.
Okay.
There you go.
That's a lot of stuff. And you just got out of a TV show. You just finished a TV show, a live action show. That just ended, right?
Yeah.
So you got that going.
Spent like 16 months doing that, but we're not going to do that anymore. You know? And then we're also just developing things. I'm one of the partners in a studio where we're developing projects and producing both animated and live action stuff. So I sort of oversee some of that stuff, but it's not as intensive unless it's something I'm running lead on.
Right. Is there ever a day where you wake up and you just lounge around and just watch Orange is the New Black on Netflix?
Well, my wife and I just took a vacation. We took like a 8-day vacation and, you know, planned that for about 16 months. And we did a lot of just lounging around and exploring stuff.
Can you do that?
That wasn't work related.
Can you do that well, or about 2 or 3 days in, you start thinking, feeling like I need to get to doing something?
Well, I don't feel a pressure like I have to work, but I'll usually get kind of creatively inspired, especially
right.
if I'm traveling and seeing something I've never seen before. It'll spark something else, and then I'll want to make something. But I like to take my time to relax when I can. It's critical to, like, you know, recharge.
To live, yeah.
Well, yeah, Seth,
to do basic stuff like eat ice cream. You know?
Seth is donating his time along with a lot of other great celebrities, including a friend of the show, John Cho, is going to be a part of this. Abby Cornish, Alanis Morissette is going to be here. I mean, so many people are going to be at this event this Friday night at the Broad Stage in Santa Monica. It's going to be at 8:00, and it's such a bizarre event. I'm not familiar with this, Seth. Maybe a lot of our listeners don't know about the 24-hour plays, but tell us about it.
Yeah. It's kind of like a weird, you know, nightmare that you have as a performer. You meet everybody about 9:30 on Thursday night, and it's like 24 actors and 6 directors and 6 writers, and everybody meets for the first time, you know, potentially, unless you've all done this event before. And in less than 24 hours, they write, produce, put up, and close 6 short plays. So, you know, when we first meet on Thursday night, no one has any idea what they're going to do. And then the 6 writers, you know, meet the actors and kind of cast they think they want to work with, any idea they've started. And, you know, then the writer and the director will work through the night on it. And then everybody meets back at 8 in the morning, and the actors all get their pages and learn this thing for the first time. And then by 8:00 Friday night, we're putting it on in front of an audience. And, you know, you've done your best to memorize it. You've done your best to mine it for the details and do something interesting. But it's mostly like a live wire act where, you know, you feel like that nightmare where you just haven't studied and suddenly you're on stage.
Yeah.
And you don't even know what play you're doing.
It's really the livest of live theater.
Not to be insulting or stupid, but wouldn't it be better if you gave yourself 48 hours?
Well, it's just a different thing. Like, part of the fun of it is the spirit of it, that everyone's just having a good time, and it's a charity event, so no one's afraid to look a little silly or be embarrassed. And you know, so many things have gone wrong in the past. I've done this a few years. I've done this a bunch of times now, and everything from somebody falling on stage to, you know, props breaking. Last year, I was wearing a mustache, and, like, during my opening line of dialogue, my mustache just fell right off the stage. So we just made that a gag. We were like, you know, I was embarrassed to tell you. I can't really grow a mustache, so I guess. Secret.
Do these plays that we'll see Friday night in Santa Monica, is that the only place they exist? They're just gone after that?
Yeah. Sometimes they're recorded, and you can see them on one of the compilations, I think. But no one ever really performs these plays again. And I've gotten to perform with a bunch of people that I probably never would have gotten to act with in some, you know, daring circus act.
Right.
Your heart's just racing faster than anything I've ever worked on. It's a completely different level of fear, you know?
Now I'm going to give you the on-sale information here again in a minute, but let me ask you this, Seth, because I'm curious. You talked about how directors and writers get together and they decide who they want to work with. So is it like a pickup basketball game where you guys are all up against the wall and you're just like, come on, pick me, and then they pick Gavin Rosdale instead, and then they pick Michelle Trachtenberg, and you're still over there jumping up and down going, me!
It is a little like that, but you never know how it's going to go because you don't know what anybody's going to write, and they're still just best guessing it at that point. So, you know, you sort of hope that if there's someone you want to work with, you'll get to be in their group, or if there's a writer or director that you want to work with, you'll be in their group. But you never know what they're thinking. And I've had different writers or different directors say, I knew I wanted you in my piece even before we wrote it, or I had this idea of a character I wanted to see you play. Or, you know, next time, buddy.
Right, sure.
I had a different vision this time. So you know, you just, it's happening so fast, you can't really take any of it personally.
This is
the one sport where it has nothing to do with athletic prowess. Like, being a good performer has nothing to do with being able to kick the ball really far. So that's fun.
Has somebody ever picked you and then you go, nope, pick again?
No, you don't really have that option.
You got to be collaborative.
Yeah, you have to. That's the spirit of the thing. Each of the actors shows up. They're asked to bring a prop and a costume, like something that you don't mind everyone working with, that maybe someone else could wear or that might inspire a writer or director. And, you know, I've wound up in everything from construction hard hat to a bear costume. You don't know what it's going to be.
Well, you mean a bear cub costume.
No, it was the gag became that I was working at Build-A-Bear, and I was like grabbing a smoke break outside, and Lucy Punch, who was on that Nat Faxon show on Fox, really funny British actress, she was trying to steal something. And so the play became about me half-heartedly talking her out of stealing something. At the same, she's like getting married, and I've got a girlfriend, and we wind up making out. Like, it was so bizarre, but really, really fun.
That's fun. You know, especially since so much of what you do, Seth, takes, you know, months to do, and so much rehearsal and everything like that, and it's painstaking. I mean, it must just be fun to walk in there with a blank page and then walk out 24 hours later having created something. I mean, that must be a charge.
It's like a roller coaster, you know. It's like the Superman ride. You're shot so fast into action that you don't have time to think about it. You just have to react. And as a performer, that's really fun.
Seth, do you get a lot of offers to do charity stuff? I mean, it seems like celebrities get asked every other day to lend their talents, their voice, their face, whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot. You don't really realize until you sort of look deeply around that there's just so much to be done. There's so many people that need help, and it's impossible to help everybody all the time. But there's a lot of people who've dedicated their lives to a specific cause, and that cause will do events, and you can help raise money. And, you know, you just try and focus your energy where you can. And because I'm in a position where we're talking on the radio, thousands, if not millions of people are listening to what we have to say, you know, you try and make your message mean something, or at least be positive.
Right.
You know, and if you can generate a little bit of money for something that's good, in this case, you know, underprivileged kids, like, being taught, given a place where they can, like, understand the arts, so it's not just struggle all day long, like, a little bit of creativity. And I think that's a really good thing. So it doesn't take much for me. It's like 24 hours of my life to commit to this, and we'll raise a bunch of money for a good cause.
Well, it sounds great, Seth. Let me give out the information again. The Urban Arts Partnership, by the way, as Seth mentions, is a leading education organization. They work in 100 under-resourced public schools. They reach over 12,000 students annually, and they're going to be raising money through this fourth annual production of 24-hour plays. It's going to be this Friday night at 8 o'clock at the Broad Stage in Santa Monica. Tickets are on sale now if this sounds like fun, and it's a great list of people who are going to be there. UrbanArts.tix.com. UrbanArts.tix.com. Seth, have a great time Friday night. Always a pleasure to have you on the show, sir. We really enjoyed talking to you.
Thanks, guys. Thank you, Seth. I heard you're heading to Brazil. Good luck, buddy.
Yeah. Everybody's making fun of me because I'm going to die.
Well, you know, we'll say something nice at the funeral at least.
Okay, thanks a lot. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 27 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Talking about what we're going to see at your funeral.
Hey, Bean. Sorry, we missed the beginning of you.
What?
I was trying to.
Was I not on the air?
Not at all.
No.
Professional.
I don't know how that happened.
That was my bad. What?
I was commenting how real it's getting that this is Kevin's last week on the show, because now that, you know, Seth Green is saying what he's going to be talking about at your funeral, and now Brad Williams is basically just coming in and saying goodbye to all of us before you guys leave to Brazil. I mean, it's happening now.
This is happening, and that's why Kevin's making those mistakes, because, you know, it's the last week of school, senior year.
He checked out.
I am a little distracted. To be honest, I'm a tiny bit distracted.
Brad, our friend who we've had on the show hundreds of times, joins us in studio along with his actual brother-in-law, Kevin. Hi, Kevin. Welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well, Bean. How are you doing?
And I understand that Kevin has been kind of the ringmaster, a little bit, of kind of organizing your guys' trip to. You guys are all going to Brazil, and you're leaving Friday, right?
Tell people what you do for a living.
I do accounting and finance for a software company.
But you travel a lot.
Yes.
You love it. You've been to Brazil three or four times?
Twice, yeah.
Twice. Good.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
I've been telling people four.
And all right. Lived.
And
he's
lived.
He's come back alive.
Did he ever go with you, though, Brad?
No.
Okay.
He did not know. He did not go with the world's largest keychain over here.
Now, Kevin O'Connor is married to Brad's sister.
Right.
She's the hot one that we met at one of the shows.
She's the hot one of Brad's family.
Well done, Kevin. Well done.
You know what? There's one in every family. Yeah. We just kind of got lucky with her, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And,
sure.
And then I'm the damn gremlin.
You're the expert here, Captain Bad Idea, Kevin. What's the difference going World Cup time versus going other times of the year to Brazil, do you think?
You got to deal with more petty crime, more traffic. It's just going to be more of a hassle, but it's going to be more of a party. So.
How did you come up with the nickname Captain Bad Idea?
I have a zest for life.
And why would you say that to my wife first thing? Hey, they call me Captain Bad Idea.
Let's clarify. I don't have bad ideas like let's trade Brad to a Brazilian drug cartel.
Unless that's necessary.
I'm open to it. But, okay. But mainly it's, I want to do too much in too short of a time. That's really what it comes down to.
Which is basically a sober version of me.
Yeah. And so that's why we're going to see five games. We're taking we're either watching a game or taking a flight every day of our trip there.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's
holy
it's
crap.
A big country. It turns out Brazil's a big country.
I know that Brazil is a first world nation. They're modern and whatnot in terms of transportation. But I mean, traveling even in the best of places on a tight schedule to lots of remote places can be fraught with difficulty. Do you have any kind of concerns about making the schedule or making these games that you're trying to get to?
Listen, here's what we've decided to do. Kevin, Captain Bad Idea, is going to attach one of those leashes that you put on toddlers that have like severe ADD and they start running around. Kevin's attaching one of those to me.
Okay.
So if I can't keep up, you guys are just going to drag me behind.
I like it.
And I'll eventually get there. I'll have some elbow pads and knee pads. I'll survive. But I'm concerned about the fact that I looked something up at the State Department website and they have like survival tips in Brazil.
Right.
And one of the things that they said is, be sure to blend in and try not to stand out. I'm a freaking midget.
Yeah, that's...
How am I supposed to blend in? And unless I get off the airplane and we're greeted with a bunch of people going... like, I'm not blending in. I'm standing out.
And then I'm a giant white guy with a huge head.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
We're in a lot of trouble.
We're dying.
Now, Kevin, Captain Bad Idea, tell us about the FedEx. What happened with the FedEx with our tickets?
A bit of an issue, admittedly. We had bought some tickets for the USA-Germany game. Very, very excited. Good seats. And on their way out of Brazil, the FedEx facility got robbed in Rio.
Now that's funny and all. But
that happens here.
But we've been getting so many, especially tweets with people. Every single bad idea that comes, a bad thing that happens in Brazil, we get a headline or a tweet.
We got one. I don't know if you got this one. The one yesterday from one of your listeners that lives in Brazil who witnessed a murder yesterday.
Oh, witness. Did not see that.
Yeah. Witnessed the murder. Yes. Not heard about it. Saw it happen.
Also got a tweet from somebody who was in a taxi cab in Sao Paulo in the first, I think, 2 hours of being in the country. A guy pulled up next to him on a motorcycle with like a gat and was robbing them. And the cab rammed him. To get him away from the cab and just ran some reds.
It's Battle Dome.
What's happening?
Where's Mel Gibson?
I keep telling myself, these are exaggerations. We're going to have a great time. Don't worry about it.
They changed the law in Brazil a couple of years ago in some cities where it's legal to basically treat red lights at night like yields so you don't stop so you don't get robbed.
They said, what?
Like legally, you can basically flash your lights and kind of just go like 15, 20 miles an hour through an intersection.
So you don't stop and then get carjacked.
Why don't they change the color of the light rather than changing the law to say that you can run them?
Well, they want them to be effective and used during the day. That's why.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah.
That's why they. But that makes sense. Wow, right. That's crazy. So tomorrow is Kevin's official farewell show.
How dare
but we
you?
Thought we'd get Brad and Captain Bad Idea in here before then. By the way, assuming Brad Williams survives and comes back, he is going to be at the Ice House in Pasadena for two shows on Thursday night, July 3rd. But what are the chances of that?
Seriously. And just so you guys know, if I make it back, that's my Stories of Brazil show.
Okay.
So even if you saw me do stand-up at the Ice House, I think I was there like a month and a half ago, this is going to be what happened in Brazil. So I need the Kevin and Bean listeners to come out to that show.
All right.
We will have stories.
Yeah. Yes, you absolutely will.
That is for sure.
That's a guarantee.
That'll be Thursday, July 3rd, 2 shows, IceHouseComedy.com. We'll take a break. Come right back with more right after this on the Kevin Beach.
Omar's unusually happy in that one.
Yep.
And well, we all are, Kevin. We don't know how to tell you that.
And here's the thing. I know that you guys have been very generous letting me come on the show multiple times. And
Brad Williams is part of the family, let's be honest. Yeah.
And I know that if you were to die, let's say, in a car accident, unfortunately, I would be maybe in the top 10 phone calls that your boss would make to come replace you. But now I'm dying with you.
Yeah, that doesn't help you.
Sucks.
That doesn't help you any. I don't know why you didn't think of that ahead of time.
No! Now I'm going out, too. Now Eddie Ift. It's going to be the Bean and Eddie Ift show. That's what's
Well, whatever
happen.
It takes. Brad Williams is in city with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is here with his real-life brother-in-law, Captain Bad Idea, and he has been to Brazil multiple times in the past. And I want to ask you this, Captain Bad Idea, who is also named Kevin. We've talked a lot about the possibility of Kevin and Brad getting mugged or kidnapped or killed. But what about just disease? You know, because we haven't really talked about that. Aren't there things that can happen to you? Happen to your body if you're not used to the water or the food in Brazil?
Yeah, absolutely. Probably the biggest thing I'm actually concerned about is dengue fever, because those mosquitoes that carry it bite during the day and there's no vaccination for it. So it's just kind of...
What happens to your body with dengue fever?
You just get a really bad fever. You know, some people it's worse than others. Some people it's not that bad, but you know. Yeah.
Have you ever had any problem going down there before getting sick?
I haven't, but I've been on trips where friends have gotten, you know, they had an open wound, they step in a dirty puddle, and they pick up a nice, infection. So.
Sweet. Yeah. Are they nice? Are they nice infections?
Oh, beautiful. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just curious.
I got my vaccine for yellow fever yesterday, and then they also gave me some pills for malaria, and also some pills. They're like, if you don't take these pills, you're probably going to get explosive diarrhea. So now I have the pills to stop that from happening.
Wait, what pills are those? Because I don't have those.
Ones that I'm hoarding.
Come on now.
Yeah, and the nice part about when they gave me the yellow fever vaccine is they said, have you had an HIV test recently? Mm-hmm. And I said, no. And she said, well, if you have HIV, we'll know because you'll die of yellow fever vaccine. Like, we'll...
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wait, with the vaccine?
Yeah.
So not even including going to Brazil, just because you got the shot.
Yeah, because they put yellow fever in my body so that I could start combating it. But they said, like, yeah, but if you have HIV, then your immune system is down and you'll just die.
Does this mosquito that bites Brad have to be half the size as ours?
I don't know.
To infect him?
I get taken out by a larva.
Smart Kevin, what about what Brad is saying about malaria?
Smart.
About malaria and yellow fever. Are those concerns of yours as well?
Not really. I mean, malaria, the mosquitoes that carry that are more at night, and we're going to be sleeping in a hotel room, so not too concerned. Yellow fever, it's not really that common. It's a yellow fever zone because we're in the Amazon, but we're in a city of a million and a half or 2 million people. So
right. It's funny because everybody that I talk to, they say, where are you going? And I mention the cities. And Manaus seems to be the bad one.
Yes, absolutely.
Because that's in the Amazon.
Yeah. And that's the first place we're going.
And that's the first place. So they say if something's going to happen to you, it'll happen there, which would ruin the rest of our trip.
Because then they probably have to fly you out to get you to a decent hospital because you're in the middle of the Amazon jungle.
We've already agreed that whoever comes down sick has to stay there. Yep. And the other three are just you're on your own. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's just the way it works.
So you have a leave all men behind policy.
Correct. Yes.
We are not the Navy SEALs. I am not going to be in a backpack a la C-3PO Chewbacca from Empire Strikes Back. That is not happening. They're going to kick me to the side of the road and say, deal with it.
All right, we're running a little bit short on time. Captain Bad Idea, I would like you to describe to Bean and Lisa the trip that you believe will happen, including going to see the Spain game.
Yeah, so I'm hopeful everything kind of works out. And so Friday we're going to fly into Rio. We'll be in Rio Friday, spend Friday night in Rio, and enjoy ourselves. Saturday morning we get up, we fly to Belo Horizonte, where there's going to be a round of 16 game, where hopefully we'll see Brazil. Fly back to Rio for Saturday night, hopefully have another good night in Rio, and then maybe stay up all night Saturday night, catch a 6 a.m. flight to this town up north in Brazil called Fortaleza.
How long of a flight?
3-4 hours.
Okay.
And then there's a 1 o'clock game there that could have Spain playing it. Kevin, I know you love Spain.
I love Spain, yeah.
So I was trying to see if we could set this up so we could
So we stay up all night in Rio.
Yep.
Yep.
And then we catch a flight first thing in the morning.
Yep. Sleep on the flight.
Sleep on the flight.
1 o'clock game. Uh-huh. Sleep on the fly back.
And then fly back to Rio that night?
Yes.
What part of you thinks that's possible? I mean, just from there's too many people there and traveling and delays and...
It's all nuts. It's nonstop flights. You just got to be at the airport. You'll be fine.
Oh,
hey, Brad,
God.
I know there are little
bad
people.
Idea has a meth connection. And that,
I hope
and
so.
That, and that's how we're staying.
I hope so. I know there are little people in every country of the world, Brad.
Yeah.
But are there ever circumstances where you're traveling in a place with a lot of people, like you will be in Brazil next week, mm-hmm. where everybody's going to want to stop and take your picture, and that may slow down your roll?
That happened when I did a USO tour, and I was over in the Middle East. I was a damn tourist attraction.
Really? Like, okay. But it was positive.
Yeah, except for the guy that thought I was a demon and started running away screaming.
I hope that happens in
yeah,
Brazil. That would be awesome.
Like, yeah, I was walking to an airport and a guy just flipped out, was like, oh my gosh, it's a demon, get away from me. And then, of course, me being me, I started running after him, like, and I just started, yeah, and I, yeah, that was a fun time. So that could definitely happen in Brazil.
If we run into trouble, I'm going to go, get your picture with the little guy. Come right up. $10.
All right. I'm throwing Wee Man under the bus.
One last question for me, and this is directed again towards Smart Kevin, and that is, another thing we haven't talked about at all is, how are the police in a country like Brazil? I mean, do they look at this as an opportunity? You know, like you hear the stories about Mexico and other places where you go and they're just trying to bribe the tourists and get cash out of them. Is there any problem you ever run into like that?
You know, in a normal trip, I probably would be a little bit more concerned. But with any world event like this, like they did in South Africa, there's going to be such a police presence, such a military presence. All of the touristed areas are going to be pretty safe. I mean,
but you're not worried about the police being the bad guys, is what I'm saying. Them shaking you down and everything. Okay.
No.
Well, until we riot, then because I may die from a rubber bullet. That could happen.
That would be awesome. What a way to go, right? Rubber bullet.
Absolutely.
In Brazil. Why are you looking at me like that? Lisa, that's the way you want to go.
Crazy.
Come on.
We can't wait to find out how it ends in the unlikely event that everybody comes back. Brad Williams is going to be at the Ice House in Pasadena for two shows on Thursday night, July 3rd. As he said earlier, K-Rock listeners, go to icehousecomedy.com and buy these tickets because Brad is going to give you the first crack at hearing all the stories that go down in Brazil.
If he comes back. Yes.
If he comes back, exactly. Captain Bad Idea, great to meet you. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me in, guys.
Keep the boys safe, and Brad, we'll see you again soon.
Goodbye, everybody.